there. I didn't have the microphone on.
Okay, I'm interviewing an older person from Washburn who, when she was younger, went to school with a horse and sleigh. Okay, do you have anything to say about how you traveled?
Yes, when I was going to school, I traveled with a horse and sleigh. And the first horse, the first sleigh we had was a small sleigh, and we didn't have a chance to have a stove in it for heat. So we used to put bricks on the stove and heat them and soapstones, get them all nice and hot and wrap them up because we had a long ways to go. And that's the way that we kept warm. And then when we got into Washburn, we used to have to put our horse up at the Estee place and leave it for the day. And at noontime, we'd have to go down and feed the horse and take care of it, go back to school in the afternoon. And then later on, we used to travel on what they called the school team, where everyone rode on it. And in that sleigh, we had a small stove, and we used to keep a fire going all the time to keep us warm. And then sometimes at night when we'd get home, we'd want to go to the basketball games, and we'd hook the horse up to the sleigh again, heat the bricks and the soapstones and so on. We'd go back down to the basketball game, put the horse up, have a real good time. And then, of course, in the wintertime, they didn't plow the roads at that time, and in the spring of the year, they'd really get quite bad. There'd be a lot of holes in the roads, and we'd have to walk more or less to school because, of course, on account of the horses, they wouldn't be able to go over the roads. There were those large holes, and all. It made it really hard. And another difference back in those days, when we got the schoolhouse, we weren't allowed to go directly into the schoolhouse. We had to stay in a little shed-like affair that was built onto the schoolhouse, and we'd have to wait till a certain time before we were allowed in. As you can see, times have really changed.
Okay, I'm interviewing a guy from Washburn. He's going to tell how he traveled to school when he was younger and what it was like.
Well, we started in back in 1921. I started high school. At that time, we had to either walk or ride with a single team. Sometimes the mud would be 3-4 inches deep, and other times the dust would be so bad you couldn't see. We'd run with a team until the snow came, then we'd take the pung, single team and pung, or sleigh. We always called it pung. And on the way to school, we'd strike out from my home. And of course, now my wife, she lived up the road 3 miles, and she and her sister would come along, and then by the time we got to Washburn, it would be 7 or 8 teams, pungs, all together, and the horse's nose would be running, and they'd be sticking down your collar next to your neck, so that's some idea what would be running. Well, and the roads in the wintertime, of course, is full of snow, but long towards spring, it'd be a lot of yes ma'ams. If you don't know what those are dips in the roads that the pungs would get down in and up, and the more you went, the more those dips would get. And then, of course, we'd pull in town and put our horses in the barn and to some of Job Churchill's and others up to where Ken Estey lives now. And in the spring, well, I'd be back with a wagon or walking. And at that time, I don't think it was over 1 or 2 cars that went to school steady. Sometimes the boys would come with a car, and sometimes they'd come with a team, but that was most of the way of traveling on our 4 years. Some of the folks traveled on the APR from Carson and Perham, or Carson and Woodland, and from Sweden. We had, after Cabo High School building burnt, there was quite a few came from Sweden down to Washburn on the APR, and then they rode up from Crouchville on the APR. But then we had to get there any way we could. A lot of folks walked or snowshoed or skied across the fields to get there. We'd get there some mornings, we'd get out to school, and the fire alarm blow, there'd no school, and it was a bad day. And we'd have to go back, and the folks in town, they didn't have to go out at all. And that's just one occasion where there's several times that we'd get right out into town, and the fire alarm blow, no school, after we'd travel 5 or 6 miles or 8 miles to get there. And made it bad because they didn't have to turn around and go back all that distance. I don't know of any time that the school was let out due to storm. We'd have to stay the full till 3 o'clock. It was it 7, 6, 5, 6 hours. Other than that, it was the weather about the same as it is now. So I guess that's all I have to say about our traveling. But it was all in the horses, and both winter and summer. I don't know, I think that I took the car once. I remember taking it once to high school in the fall, spring of 24, the year we graduated. We had to take it around and demonstrate some, deliver some for the play, the programs for the play, senior play. Other than that, I guess that's about the only way we traveled at that time.
What about farming?
Well, the farming then was all with horses. And I guess the father did get a Fordson tractor in spring of 21. And it's just like some of these new final watches. You crank them up for about 2 hours, give them run, they run the rest of the day till they run down. Wasn't that right, Mike? And it was interesting. The tractors began to come then just to a harrow and plow with. The farming was... stayed that way for years until World War II began to change to more to mechanical farming. And since World War II, why, there's nothing that really can be, that we can't do. There's nothing impossible now. They can do everything with most anything they want and get most anything they want to do it with. I remember at the time I went to school, we played in the old gym in the high school there. And at the south end of the old high school gymnasium, the dressing rooms were down there. And they took up all about 12, 15 feet of the lower end of the gymnasium. And I've seen more than once and the boys would jump up to put a ball in the basket or to get a rebound, poke the leg through the door. And the doors would be the panels would be torn out of the doors. And I've seen them hit the concrete and bust their, I've seen them hit over the eyes against the concrete. At that time, there was a concrete floor and concrete walls. It wasn't padded the way it is now. And, of course, it wasn't such a big gym, but at that time, when in 1921, 22, and part of 23, we was the only town around that had a gymnasium. Caribou had to play in the theater. Prescott had to play in the theater. And Ashton had to play in the Grange Hall. Easton played in the Grange Hall. Myers Hill had little gymnasium, but Washington's the only town in the 21, 22, and 23 that had a gymnasium of their own. In 23, Prescott got there, what is now, it isn't the Cunningham gym, but there's two gymnasiums in the Cunningham School, and the big one was made, the one that we played was made in 22, we played it in 23. And Caribou, they didn't finish theirs till 25 or 26, their first gymnasium in the new school building. They had to play in the theater over the Caribou, up over the Grange Hall. And then let me see, is there anything else? Is there anything else you'd like to ask out?
What were the schoolhouses on?
Well, the schoolhouse at that time was where the Foster schoolhouse is now. And it wasn't just, it was the same size of the schoolhouse now, with the exception that when they built the, after the fire, they built the, what was the home economics room and the laboratory, the home economics room, and what's the room over in the corner? It was the, they use it for band practice lately, don't they? That was built between their side where the old gym was. The old gym stopped right where the stage starts. That was outside the old building, the east side. And out there, where that piece is now, used to be a road by the schoolhouse, and just wide enough to get through, and out beyond that was a swamp. There's the alders, Mike Worson, you'd see an alder swamp down along, just back down along the brook. The alders were. You couldn't imagine there'd ever be a baseball diamond there, because that was the alders, well, it's 15, 20 feet high, you know. And I guess there's some other trees too, wasn't there, Lil? She graduated in 25, and I graduated in 24. We never seen one another. Went to school all the time. I didn't go, I guess I better keep still and not be going on too much. Anyway, the schoolhouse on the first floor was the grades. On the right-hand side, the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, weren't they, Lillian? Because down where Carolyn Humphrey lives, There was a schoolhouse down there with two grades. I think, right where Carol, you know where Carolyn Bell lives? You know, well, that was a schoolhouse there, set there, and I think there was two grades. And I'm not sure, maybe only one. But then the rest of the grades were in the same building where we were, on the first floor. And over the gymnasium, the first floor of the gymnasium was a commercial room. And then there's a cloakroom in the middle of what was on the further in the south corner. And then up on the second floor, the whole 4 years is in one grade, one big room. That was all one big room, the whole length of that building upstairs, same size the gymnasium is now. And seen the whole 4 years sat in one big room. Well, and every morning they have assembly. And of course, the whole, all four classes together, and there would be a principal to read the Bible, and they'd give have the Lord's Prayer, and they'd sing a couple of songs or hymns, and that was the assembly each morning. And then off on the right-hand side, that was no, they must have moved the commercial room upstairs a little. Because when I took bookkeeping, typewriting, we was upstairs. But when I first started in, it was downstairs on the left-hand side. But they, and then on the third floor was the laboratory. The whole length of that building upstairs on the third floor was the laboratory, the same size the gymnasium is, only it was just about a half a story. But through the middle of the room was full height, but the roof came down. See, like you do have upstairs, how the roof come down, well, that's the way it was there. But the laboratories went the whole length of the room. We had a wonderful laboratory in chemistry, for chemistry and physics. And then the English room was in the southwest corner, and in the history and French room was in the central middle room upstairs on the west side of the school building, and the agriculture room was on the right-hand corner, northwest corner. And that was where we went out for 4 years in high school. That the gymnasium was built on in the fall, summer of 1919. And when we started going in 20, fall of 20, yeah, fall of 20. They let's see, 19, 20. Yeah, in the summer of 19, they built the gymnasium, new piece on. The original schoolhouse, do you notice where that schoolhouse is now, the foster, how there's a jog in the side of it? That was the original schoolhouse, and that jog west. And then they built the little gymnasium piece on in 1919 and put that three stories high and connected on the old building. Well, that was, when we started in the fall of 20, Mike, there was big piles of dirt piled up each side of the gymnasium. And we had to, Orrin Wilder had mules, a pair of mules, and we'd get a pair of mules and others. And us fellows took the dirt and hauled from that clay out of the cellar and hauled around and made what is now the tennis courts. We had to haul that. We'd work nights after school and for hours at a time, you know, day in, day out, when we could get off, different ones take turns, to move that dirt from the other side of the school building over to where the tennis court is now. But wasn't any of us ever played tennis on it, because they never got it finished to get it tennis. But we always wanted to, and we helped get them graded. And then in the fall of 20, when we started school, there was 4 feet of water in the gymnasium. That something happened to the pump, Mike, and of course your grampy would know if he's alive, because we all had to take turns going out and pumping water by hand to pump that gymnasium out. We pumped for a week with a hand pump. They didn't have power pumps then. The big hand pump took two men on the handle to pump, and we'd take turns pumping all through the day when we wasn't in class. They had to schedule rain so anybody who wasn't in class could get down and pump, you see. Well, it was good to get out of class, but it wasn't too good to pump. But we had to pump that water out of that gymnasium by hand, and it was 4 or 5 feet deep. During the summer, the electric pump, something happened to it, and it stopped, you see, and it flooded out. And that was the fall of 20. But in the fall of, winter 21, spring of 21, we had the Northern Maine Championship, Eastern Maine Championship of the state basketball team. And I think in 22 we had the Eastern Maine Championship. I don't know if it was Northern Maine or Eastern Maine. I know we went to Bangor. In the spring of 22, we went down to Presque Isle to play Fort Fairfield off in the theater down there. And Presque Isle, Fort Fairfield had their suitcases all packed.
to get down to the tournament, see? And Washburn went down there and beat him. And so Washburn had to come back that night and pack their suitcases to get down on the first train to Presque Isle the next morning to go to Bangor on their B&A to play in the tournament. And they got to North and Eastern Maine tournament at that time. And I remember George Ballard, he was a brother to Charlie Ballard, who was out in Washburn. And he was right on his back. He slipped and was on his back, and he throwed the ball and made the basket and won the game. That's how close it was. And that was really interesting to talk about. Some cheering, I guess there was a lot of it. Now, let me see. What else? Well, I'll hear part of it anyway. I was trying to think. We didn't have no agriculture. We took agriculture, but we didn't have no shop. The nearest we got to the shop, Mike, they bought in an engine. And that set that all summer or two, and they took it out after a while. I think Leslie Thompson brought it in, your father, your cousin to your grandfather. And there's all bookwork then, and testing milk and things like that. The bookkeeping and shorthand, I never took shorthand, I took bookkeeping and typewriting. That was just about the same as it is now. We only didn't have, and you girls take typewriting. Mm-hmm. Well, do you have electrical typewriters? Or do you have the old, do you have the Underwood and the Royal like we used to have? Remington. Is that electric? I see. Well, that's, we never had, of course, in those days it wasn't electric. But I don't know. I never got too good at it, but it helped the bookkeeping part, helped anyway. Let me see, the 19, is there any highlights in the time we was going?
We always took our dinner school.
Yes, we had to take our dinner school. And we'd eat down, sit down by the furnace and eat our dinner, and that was interesting because you get a bunch of fellas together to tell a story, and of course the girls, they sat down on behind partition, there's another table, and of course the fellas were always trying to talk to the girls, but the girls were bashful, they wouldn't talk back. But they burnt wood in the stove then, and any time the janitor was sick, the boys had to take turns keeping the furnace going with the wood. And I think that our schoolhouse burnt, and I think it was winter of 35, around Christmas time, 1934 or 35, which was it? It was 34 or 35, the schoolhouse burned. I wish you could see the trophies that we had. My goodness, we had these trophy cases, wonderful cups that we'd won from way back from the time we started. I don't know what they had before, but they had a lot of them, wonderful trophies. Because you take the Eastern Maine tournament and win that two or three times. And it was wonderful to see those trophies, and it's too bad to lose them, but something you can't help. Then I remember the first radio I ever heard in the one winter around in December or January 1924, 23, or January 24, we went to Clara Lewis as a classmate, and he was a regular electrician and quite a genius in making, he and Aunt Albion, and myself too, I used to go over to Albion's and stay overnight, and we made Riggins, so we could talk one another with an old Ford coil and wires and this and that. Well, anyway, Claire got the first radio that was ever in Washburn. And there's one of these kind that you'd stick your head in just as far as you could and wish you could hear something. It was a wishing radio. Mm-hmm. And we heard, it was New Year's Eve because we heard the bell, Big Ben chime over in London. We did hear that. It was broadcast strong enough so we'd get the Big Ben. That was in the New Year's Eve, or New Year's, must be New Year's Eve, 1924. New Year's Eve, be the 30th, for 31st and 23, wouldn't it? Well, it was New Year's Eve, we heard Big Ben chime at midnight, 24. And that was the first radio that I ever heard. We had, of course, every night after we had a basketball game, they'd have a social afterwards. And they never had too much dancing, but they had a social, and they'd play different games and things and marches, and I can't remember what they call the games now, but they would, there's a whole Of course, those days when you went to play ball, you stayed overnight where you were because you couldn't get back unless going to Mapleton. We always had it. We'd have a hayride over there. Each class would take a sled, and you know, you'd hate to walk over there alone, but you'd take going to sled, and most of the boys walked all the way over and all the way back. Race the devil. But, of course, they had the sled get on it when they wanted to. And that was a lot of fun, going over there to each night, to each year, to basketball games, and Maple and drive over here. And then once in a while, each class would go on a oyster stew. We'd take a, Albion, I remember, took the team, Uncle Albion, and we drove up to the Grange Hall in Parham and had an oyster stew up there, I don't know, two or three times. Then they used to sometimes go to the candy pool up to Grange Hall and Blackstone's every spring, and they'd tap a lot of trees and boil the sap down. They'd have a candy pool. And you'd go up there and pay so much, and you could eat all the maple candy that you could eat. It really was wonderful. And they'd played games afterwards. And Everett, of course, Everett Cunningham started teaching high agriculture in the fall of 23, and he taught us, me, when I was going. And did you girls? No, neither. What year are you in?
10th.
10th, yeah, but he got through the year before you started, didn't he? Mm-hmm. But he taught for quite a few years here. You know, any other highlights? Oh, yeah, well, once in a while we'd take a go to, on a either hot dog roast or an oyster stew. At night, sometimes, I remember one time went down to Jardine's. Artist Jardine lived down where Jap Jardine lived when he died two or three years ago. No, down where Herb Jardine lives now, Miss Jardine, the teacher. And we'd get down there and snowshoe down, ski and back, and we'd go over the hill to there'd be camps out in the woods then. We'd just go through out there and have a hot oyster stew and come back, and we'd have to lug the milk and lug the crackers and the oysters, but it was all a lot of fun. Then we used to go up on Milstairs Hill across the wood and slide in the wintertime. That was a great place. You go up there and you come down across and you think you've been somewhere on a handstand. It was good sliding. At that time, we put our horses in Job Churchill's barn, and then Mr. Estee, that's Ken Estee's grandfather, took care of our horses there. I guess we put him there 3 years, didn't we, Lil? Two years, and he would take care of them. He had to pay so much, but we had to furnish our own horses to travel with those days. But I've seen him come in town in the spring and the when it was warm, and they'd be, well, the teams from this road and Woodland would come, and the teams from the other road over here, the Caribou Road, would come, and the teams from the Caribou Lake Road, and when they'd get all down here by Rouse Brook, they'd be 7 or 8, 10 teams, one right behind the other, you know. And some of the horses, I said, couldn't keep their nose away from you, and they'd sweat, of course. But it was a lot of fun, just the same. I guess I don't seem to think of anything else right now. At that time, Mr. Whitten was our janitor. He lived out where Stacy Griffin lived. He died. Stacy died this past year, I think. And his boy goes to school. Has he got a daughter going to school, too? Lived out there where Olson's or Tingley's? Anyway, that's where he lived. And he'd come out, go out at 4 o'clock in the morning and build his fire. And then he'd go back home, get his breakfast, and he'd come out right after breakfast, and he'd tend to the fire and keep watch of repairs through the day, and then after school at night, then he'd have to sweep the whole school. Of course, he swept it alone. He didn't have to go out in the doors to do anything, and he'd sweep the schoolhouse, and if we was having a social at night, why, he would have to rearrange the seats up in the main room sometimes. And he was janitor for, oh, he must have been janitor for 20 years till he got too old to do it.
guess that's all I can think of right now.
In those days, when they'd go on a trip, they'd just take one man besides the five, regular men, they'd take one sub. So they didn't worry too much about fouling out. And the only way they'd man get out if you get hurt. And I don't know if anybody ever getting hurt too much. They might swap off sometimes and to just rest somebody who's getting tired. But at that time, Mike, every time there's a basket, they'd go to the ball, had to go to the center court. See, and jump ball every time. And that's the reason they didn't get the big scores that they do now. And there was no, now it's ball out every time there's a basket or if there's any slip-ups, why is it out-of-bound ball? But that time, there was no out-of-bound balls. It was, went to the center court and it was played till they'd get a basket or somebody had a foul or something. I don't seem to think of anything different right now. During that time in school, the girls, when they started school, they had high shoes. They came up, these 10-inch tops that the shoes were. Well, that was when you was a freshman, wasn't it, Lil? All the girls had high shoes. Then by and by, they began to get low slippers, and it had arrows on the stockings pointing up. We knew something was going to happen. So first thing we know, the dress is clear up by the knees, and they shingled the hair. As they cut the hair off, and shingle it right up close behind. And that was a style for, well, most of the time we was in school after that was in 20, started in 22, and the dresses went from about midway between the knee and the ankle up to the knee and above. It was pretty short somewhere now, and they had these arrows on the stockings. I don't know what that was for, but unless it was pointed, they used to have the big garters they put on above the knees. and those garters were probably arrows pointing to them so they could see them. I remember one time a bunch of us went toboggan, and there's three boys and three girls on this big toboggan. We'd going down over the hill, lickety shoot. And all at once, the toboggan upset. And we began to roll over and over and over. You know, and those garters were flying, looked just like a rainbow in the sky. So that was the most of fun in those days. They didn't have slacks to wear. Did they, Lil? But that's what that arrow was for, is to point to the guardians that was up above, I guess. You better not tape that. To make an entertainment, at that time, I don't remember any movies when we was going to high school. Not, it might have been a Saturday night. But through the week, we'd go out on the mill pond, and if we didn't shovel it off ourselves, some farmer might go in with a scraper and scrape it off, but we'd skate and build a big fire and skate till time to go to bed, and we'd have to go home. Of course, we had to walk out and walk back. When we played basketball, my brother and the cousins and I, we'd run from here to town to keep our wind up, and we'd have to practice all evening and run back. And one thing we did have to do, we'd have to run from the Foster School down School Street, up Main Street to Churchill Street 12 times. Make that run 12 times every night, and then we'd go in the gym and play, and then we'd have to run around the gym so much. And I'm telling you right now, when we got through that, we had good wind. And skating was about the only thing, unless skiing and snowshoeing off on picnics or to oyster stew parties or something like that. But it was in long towards spring, it'd be sliding, and we used to go up and slide on the Mill Stairs Hill, and it really was good because it'd be a lot of kids up there skiing, sliding. And I'm telling you right now, you go up to the top of that hill and come down on a good crust, and it sure get a ride. Well, you can stop it now.
Each class is going on a trip.
Huh?
Each class.
Oh, yes. Each, each spring after the graduation, when the seniors graduated, the other class would go on a trip either to Madawaska Lake or Portage Lake each year and have a picnic dinner and back. And then after the graduating class would usually go up to Portage Lake and spend 3 or 4 days. Later on, I guess they went to, had more money, they went out in the cities, but I guess that thing is a thing of the past now. Yeah, we'd coming back from Portage Lake, have to come up Haystack Hill, and if the gas was low, the Ford wouldn't run, so you had to turn around back up the hill in order to get the gas, because the gas underneath the front seat. See, and that let the gas run down in the carburetor so that you get up the hill. Back, you had to back up. And of course, the cars in those days, well, they had to get right down low to make it anyway. Nowadays, they hardly see the hill. Of course, there's a lot of ruts in the road, and the roads are rough. Sometimes it'd be a log sticking out of the road. Of course, years ago when they made the roads, they would lay logs down, Mike, and they'd cut over them, bury over them with gravel. And then after so long a time, that the frost would keep heaving that, and that old corduroy, they call it, would stick up through the road, so you had to watch it, not run into it and bust your car. The farming at that time, it was the same as it had been for years and years, only they'd went from yoke from oxen to horses. But in the 1920s, the began to change more to tractors to help plow and harrow, but they still took care of the pitters with horses. They dug with horses and used barrels and hauled in with wagons. But at the time of, during World War II, due to the scarcity of labor, people began to use more machinery to speed up the production of potatoes and to handle them faster. And since then, it's went from